Welcome to our Blue Papers podcast edition. Blue Papers are our version of white papers here at 4M Print. They cover a wide range of business topics, all with an aim to help your organization succeed. This is episode number 163, Voice Search. This episode is presented by 4M Print Incorporated customer service manager, Brandon Manthe.
Voice search, talking about an evolution. How does an Irish coffee sound about now? If you wanted to enjoy one right now and didn't know where to go, would you type your query into a search engine or speak into your smartphone? Consumers are increasingly asking their phones just about anything that comes to mind. And like every other development in the history of the internet, voice search will reshape marketing strategies. When we type into search boxes, we tend to limit our queries to essential words. We might type Irish Coffee Chicago. When we speak, we're more likely to say, where can I get an Irish coffee? Search engines are building massive knowledge databases to answer questions directly in the search results. The search engine knows a questioner's location, understands that Irish coffee is a thing in and of itself, meaning this isn't a question about coffee in an island off the coast of Europe, and has compiled knowledge about Irish coffee from menus and reviews on sites such as Yelp and Urban Spoon. The voice search for where can I get an Irish coffee generates a list of restaurants and bars near you, including their addresses, phone numbers, hours of operation, and links to map apps in case you need directions. And there you have your answer, without having to click on links to articles such as Top 10 Irish Pubs in Chicago. Bing search director Stefan Weitz says, when you talk about conversational search, you're really talking about machines being able to understand the last thing you said or the path you're heading down. What this means is that search engines are now capable of interpreting questions to understand the intent behind a search and deliver relevant results. The query, where can I get an Irish coffee, is understood by the search engine and interpreted as, what bars and restaurants nearest to me have Irish coffee on the menu? Based on survey results released by Google, voice searches have more than doubled between 2013 and 2014, and it probably won't shock anyone that teens are leading the way. According to the survey, some 56% of teens use voice search on a daily basis for everything from finding directions to help with homework. Adults are converting to voice search too, with 40% using voice search daily. The increasing use of voice search has numerous implications for web marketing content, including SEO and local optimization. This podcast will review those implications as we examine the development of voice search, popular voice platforms, how voice-based search differs from text-based search, who is using voice search, and why they are using it. You might want to stick with regular coffee for the rest of the podcast. Let's recall the early days of online search. Google's Amit Singhal says, you'd sit down and boot up your bulky computer, dial up on your squonky modem, type in some keywords, and get 10 blue links to websites that had those words. Some 20 years later, you can take out your phone, have a conversation with your digital assistant, and get the answer you're looking for without having to go near a link. There have been many milestones along the way, especially with search's dominant player, Google, that have changed the way marketing is done on the web. Google has worked towards functioning as an answer engine, and although Bing and other search engines have followed similar development paths, Google is still the dominant player when it comes to search. Google Knowledge Graph is a super database designed to understand how people, places, and things are connected, boosted Google's ability to provide answers with search results and to carry out a conversation with searchers. Knowledge Graph, combined with voice search capabilities, is where conversation with a database really takes off. Search Engine Land's Danny Sullivan offers this example. You can say, Barack Obama, and Google will show you results for Barack Obama, and respond saying, Barack Obama is the President of the United States. You can then ask, how old is he? And you will hear, Barack Obama is 53. What's cool about this, Sullivan explains, is that the search engine knows that the he refers to Barack Obama and that Barack Obama is a person. The search engine can then pull information it has about that person from its giant knowledge graph database and present it as if you were having a conversation with Google itself. Similar to it understanding that Barack Obama is a person, Knowledge Graph understands things like book titles and venue names as entities rather than a combination of words. Forbes columnist Jason Demers says the Knowledge Graph, like every other Google system, will undoubtedly evolve and become more complex over time, gradually introducing more new features and streamlining the web in ways we probably haven't even thought of yet. Here's where things get really cool. Virtual assistants, such as Google Now, can figure out a lot about us if we want them to, which in turn contributes to more relevant conversations when a voice search is initiated. If a hotel booking is mentioned in a Gmail account, for example, the digital assistant knows the area around Chicago to look for restaurants to recommend. Those digital assistants get a lot of assistance from search algorithm changes rolled out by Bing, Microsoft, and Google. Google's 2013 Hummingbird algorithm is one change that grabbed the headlines, as it emphasized how the search engine was focusing on natural language and interpreting search queries. Although Google and Microsoft both support voice search on laptops, most voice searches happen on mobile phones. iPhone Siri was the first digital assistant, but it has been joined by Microsoft's Cortana for the Windows Phone and Android's Google Now. Let's have a look at them. Originally just another app in the iPhone App Store, Siri made its first appearance as the iPhone's digital assistant in the 4S, released in 2011. For the first time, smartphone users could ask a virtual assistant questions and set up appointments and reminders. More recently, Apple introduced the Hey Siri hands-free mode in iOS 8 for iPhone and iPad. By saying Hey Siri, a user can ask questions and get answers without touching the device as long as the phone or pad is plugged in. Cortana, Microsoft's digital assistant, is named after an artificially intelligent character from the Halo video game series. Available in Windows 8.1 phones and PCs with Windows 10, Cortana asks a lot of get-to-know-you questions during setup. It knows your favorite contacts, whether you want to set reminders, when you don't want to be disturbed, what you are interested in, where you live, and so on. The more information you feed it, the better search results you'll get. Google Now uses search history and preferences to make personal recommendations. If you have a flight confirmation in Gmail, Google Now will let you know where it's departing from and whether there are any delays. It's also possible to customize your Google Now experience with cards that display information without you asking for it, about the weather, for example, or how long your commute home will be in current traffic conditions. Digital assistants aren't perfect. However, marketers should not use their annoying quirks as an excuse for holding off on developing content that aligns with the natural language approach that helps digital assistants provide the best search results. Keyword-based optimization, for one, is giving way to an approach that focuses more on ensuring that a website answers customers' common questions and problems. For example, thanks to their natural language, lists of frequently asked questions and forums will offer valuable marketing content as voice search continues to increase. So what's the difference between the phrasing used in voice searches and the words used in text searches? It's an important distinction for anyone who has built a web marketing strategy around keywords and search engine optimization. Here are the primary differences. Number one, voice searches are more conversational. The question in this podcast introduction, "Where can I get an Irish coffee?" sounds like part of a conversation with a friend or coworker. Irish Coffee Chicago sounds like a conversation with a caveman. With voice search, people don't think about the words they are using as much as they do in a text search. Speaking into a phone or computer naturally encourages searchers to use more conversational language. Google's Matt Cutts says, "It is definitely the case that if you have something coming in via voice, people are more likely to use natural language. They are less likely to use search operators and keywords and that sort of thing, and that is a general trend that we see. Conversational language increases the relevance of search engines that understand the context and intent of a question. If people are using more varied phrasing and voice queries, it becomes even more important for search engines to really understand what is being sought." Number two, voice searches are more immediate. Consumers using voice search are often looking for something they can act on in that moment, such as directions to a restaurant or hours of operations for a store. In fact, the Google app receives 30 times as many action queries by voice as by typing. For our query about Irish coffee, the word now or another word or phrase that might indicate that the questioner is looking to enjoy a drink immediately isn't even stated, but it's understood. Number three, voice searches are more likely to be related to a location. Again, with our Irish coffee, search results would list bars or restaurants in the questioner's immediate vicinity, providing better options than a text search as broad as the entire metropolitan area of Chicago. These differences present challenges and opportunities for marketers. Optimizing for keywords is less relevant, as conversational search terms are more varied and search engines are trying to interpret the meaning behind them. More and more, website content will need to fall in line with users' requests, answer their questions, or solve their problems using natural, conversational language. Why are people using voice search? According to Google's survey, the top five reasons are 1. To ask for directions, 2. To call somebody, 3. To dictate texts, 4. To get help with homework, and 5. To play a song. A common theme in this list is the immediacy of what is being sought. This holds real promise for marketers. People are providing information on what they want to do right now. Marketers can help users looking to take immediate action by making sure that the business, product, or service they are promoting has a complete profile on Google Plus and reviews and recommendations on sites such as Yelp. The role questions have in voice search is a key concern for marketers. Much of what is asked in voice search revolves around the old newspaper reporter's standby questions of who, what, when, where, why, and how. Let's take a quick look at how question keywords have grown in popularity since Google rolled out voice search in its app in 2008. It's not possible yet to know whether a search was initiated via voice or text, so looking at question words that are more common in natural language voice queries than typed searches is a good alternative. Search Engine Watch conducted a useful year-over-year study comparing 2014 to 2013, looking at the number of times who, what, where, when, and how appeared in specific queries. It found a 61% growth in these phrases, with who phrases increasing 134% and how phrases increasing 81%. Since voice search debuted in 2008, there's been a strong rise in question-related words. What this data hints at is that people treat text-based and voice searches differently, and these differences have serious implications for a website's content. In addition to what people are asking, marketers also need to be aware of who is using voice search and what else they are doing when they use voice search. More than half of teens, 56%, and 41% of adults are initiating voice searches on a daily basis. They are asking for directions, playing songs, and calling people in their contacts lists. And they are making these queries while exercising, cooking, and even using the bathroom. Imagine a person in the kitchen initiating a hands-free conversation with her phone, looking for an explanation for a cooking technique while keeping her screen crumb-free. And you'll have pictured a typical adult engaging in a voice search. Are you ready to let your customers do the talking? While it's tough to propose a to-do list for optimizing a website for voice search, there are some things that marketers can do to get started. Number one, while a bit obvious, ensure that your website is fully optimized for mobile devices and has a strong local business presence. Have location data, including your address and an embedded Google map with your location featured on your website, and set up a verified Google Plus local listing. Most voice searches that result in conversations, such as a purchase or restaurant booking, are related to local searches. Number two, encourage customers to contribute to ratings and review sites. Google Now and Siri consider ratings when building their results pages. Positive reviews on Google Plus, Yahoo, Yelp, TripAdvisor, and similar platforms can give your business an edge with voice search. Number three, keep an eye on brand and company mentions on social media. This can help you discover the commonly asked questions you can optimize around and build content for. Number four, when producing new content for a website or optimizing the copy of existing pages, avoid making keywords the only goal. Instead, focus on answering general questions that could lead a customer to find your product or service on your website. Number five, develop FAQ or Q&A sections to further develop website content based on questions customers ask. Remember, voice searches tend to use complete sentences rather than just keywords, such as, is there a good, cheap plumber around here? Or, is there a bar around here where I can watch the football game tonight? Number 6, focus on subjective questions, as both Google and Bing are trying to answer basic factual questions on their search results pages. Website content will be more relevant if it focuses on questions such as, what is the best, top, recommended, or highest rated? Number 7, if you have multiple locations, make sure you keep your local profiles up to date, particularly with Google Maps. Number 8, set up an online forum for conversations and exchanges. Forums naturally raise topics people are searching. Number 9, if you own a restaurant, consider joining platforms such as OpenTable so potential customers can make a reservation on the fly with their mobile devices. And finally, number 10, use extra HTML markup to tag information on your website. This is a simple way of providing search engines with more information about your website. To learn more, go to schema.org. One of the biggest drawbacks to voice search for marketing purposes is that it reduces the need for customers to visit your website. For example, if a search engine or digital assistant can tell a potential customer where nearby restaurants are located, how to get there, when they are open, and possibly even make a reservation, then most customers won't need to visit a restaurant's website. Be prepared for a drop-off in website traffic from people looking for the most basic information about your business. In addition, phone calls that result from someone using voice search to find your contact information are hard to track. You may need to get a lot more creative about how you track how people are finding you. It's difficult to predict the technological advancements that lie ahead for voice-based search. Voice may become the search medium of choice for most people, especially if wearables such as smartwatches and glasses take off. Keywords may lose their value as semantic search takes priority and conversational voice search is used whenever we have an immediate need. Websites could become less important as search engines provide answers directly in conversations. Lori Sullivan of MediaPost says, "The IoT, or Internet of Things, will redefine search marketing. The future of search resides in automatic identification through beacons, sensors, global positioning systems, and other types of technology that push information rather than pull. The marketing challenge will be to find ways to keep website content relevant while search engines get better at providing direct answers, all the while ensuring that search engines have the information they need to understand when a company is the answer to a searcher's query. Not to mention the need to keep an eye on how databases such as Knowledge Graph streamline the web in ways few have yet to imagine. Being a content marketer these days may feel a bit like being a painter who works on San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge. You get from one end to the other only to have to start all over again. You just finished putting solid content in place and now face the challenge of reworking the content for voice searches and conversational searches with digital assistants. But it's only the parameters that are changing, not the goal. In fact, good search results and good marketing go hand in hand. The best search results are achieved through understanding what users are asking for and giving it to them. And in the words of the renowned management consultant Peter F. Drucker, "The aim of marketing is to know and understand the customer so well, the product or service fits him and sells itself." An Irish coffee does sound good about now. I'm not sure where to get one, but I know who to ask. When your potential customers ask questions, are you the answer?
Thanks for listening to this podcast on voice search. As always, keep on the lookout for our next podcast, Workplace Bullying, the High Cost of Bad Behavior. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to listen to others, please visit our website at 4imprint.com/bluepapers.